Proverbs 14:12 states that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, 3 weeks ago, we had a message on human wisdom that characterized human wisdom. And first thing we looked at it is that it's easily believable by the masses. We find that it falsely accuses those who are promoting the truth. We looked at it does not respond to correction. We found that it deals with the truth by avoiding it. We found that it's willing to believe a lie. We found that human wisdom provides temporary relief. When you look at the book of Jeremiah, you see really a living, you see a description of Proverbs 14:12, and that there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. As you look at the book of Jeremiah, you see there's a lot of people that ended up dying because they went their own way instead of going God's way. Even at God's point of mercy, saying, surrender yourselves to the Babylonians. But yet they still continued to go their way. And many people ended up dying. As we continue, we find that human wisdom experiments with obedience rather than committing oneself to it. It experiments with obedience. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 34. It might obey for a short time, but it won't commit itself to obedience. Human wisdom's obedience is very short-lived. Jeremiah 34 and verse number 8. It says, this is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. After that, the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being in Hebrew or in Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit of a Jew his brother. Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that every one should let his manservant and every one his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves any more, then they obeyed and let them go. But afterward they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return, and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. Therefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondmen, saying, at the end of 7 years let ye go every man his brother in Hebrew, which hath been sold unto thee, and when he hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And ye were now turned, and had done right in my sight, in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor. And ye had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid, whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return, and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. So here we find there was a temporary obedience. There was maybe an experiment with obedience, but it was very short-lived. You know, when we are set on our way rather than on God's way, obedience can be very short-lived. You know, we can maybe have a little trial period in our life, but it doesn't last. And here, the children of Israel, their obedience was very short-lived. In contrast to their obedience, in Jeremiah 35, there is a people that were very obedient. And that was the Rechabites. And they had made, their father had told them something, and they had committed themselves to not drinking any wine or not drinking any grape juice. And it's interesting, in this situation here, Jeremiah comes to them. And it says in verse number 5, I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. Now, just to, for those that may not know, the word wine here in the Bible, the interpretation of it is either alcoholic beverage or grape juice, depending on the context. All right, even in the English language, the word wine used to mean the fruit of the vine. It could be either something that came from grapes. It could either be grape juice or it could be alcoholic beverage. Now, today in our society, when you think of wine, you think of alcoholic beverage. All right, so when it says drink ye wine here, it's not talking about wine as we think of it, all right, but it's talking about grape juice. Verse number 6, but they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father. And so here even Jeremiah comes to set something before them. You know, maybe they could have made an excuse and said, well, Jeremiah is the one that's setting this before us, so I think it'll be okay this time. But no, they were what? They were committed to obedience. You know, do we have that same commitment in our life? It can be so easy when the circumstances turn against us to kind of go our own direction. But that's human wisdom rather than godly wisdom. So human wisdom experiments with obedience rather than committing oneself to it. And God lifts up these sons of Rechab as examples of those that obeyed properly. The next point I'd like to look at is that human wisdom puts circumstances and experience above God's Word. It places circumstances and experience above God's Word. Go to Jeremiah chapter 37. Just a little bit over Jeremiah 37. In verse number 6, it says, then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah that sent you unto me to inquire of me. Behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us. For they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. All right, so here we have Pharaoh's army is coming up, and the army of the Chaldeans departs for a time period. You know, the people might have begin to think, oh, hey, things are okay now. Pharaoh's army's coming up to help us. The Chaldeans are leaving. Everything's okay. But you know what? That's not what the word of the Lord was that was coming to the people. Everything was not okay. But these were people that looked at the circumstances. These were people that looked at what looked like was happening. That's what they followed rather than what God was saying. And over in Jeremiah chapter 44, there's another example of this, and it's a longer passage. We're not going to read all of it, but here Jeremiah comes to the people and reprimands them, preaches to them about the false gods that they had worshipped. And notice and preaches against them about their false gods that they are worshiping. And jump down to verse number 11, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there, for none shall return but such as shall escape. Then all the men, this is I guess the verse I wanted, that which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, in our princes, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, or lacked all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings into her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings into her without our men? So here we have, notice their thinking here, basing what their decision on the circumstances rather than what on God had told them. You know, here the problem is that they judged their circumstances incorrectly. You know, God had been merciful to them. God maybe had forbeared to bring his judgment upon them in the midst of their sin. And so in the midst of their sin for a period of time, maybe things seemed like they were going okay. But there came a point that God said, you know what, enough is enough. And he began judging them. And they said, well, things seem fine when we are doing this. You know, we have to be very careful. Human wisdom will base decisions on the circumstances and what things look like rather than what God's word says. Notice what Jeremiah's response was in verse 20. Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind, so that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings? And so here we have the Lord really showing forbearance to them. And instead of them thinking, boy, the Lord has been long-suffering to us, judgment is coming down upon us because of our false worship, instead of thinking that way, they said, oh, things seem fine, so we're going to go right back to what we were doing before. And you know what? They were making judgments based upon circumstance. You think of in the book of 2 Peter, the people say, where is the promise of his coming? And really, what is it? It's God's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we have to be so careful that in the decisions we make, we don't base our decisions on what things appear to be. We need to base our decisions upon the truth of God's word. If you make your decisions based upon appearance, you know, sometimes people say, well, that person looks like they love God, and that's what they do. And you know what? They'll do the same thing, and things won't turn out the way they wanted them to. You know, we can't make decisions based upon appearance. We have to make decisions based upon the truth of God's word. Our hearts are very deceitful. You know, they thought that they could make a decision based upon their circumstances, and they failed greatly. You know, what's wrong with human wisdom? Well, it has the wrong source. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 16. You know, there was prophets backing up, you know, some of these decisions that they were making. But what did God say about what was going on? Jeremiah 23:16, we find human wisdom has the wrong source. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. You know, the problem with human wisdom is that it has the wrong source. And here the source was their own hearts. And what does Jeremiah 17 say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our heart can very easily lead us astray. And that is why it is so important that the decisions we make, not based upon what this person over here is doing or what this person over here is doing, but is based upon the truth of God's Word. Is it coming from our heart, or is this decision coming from God's heart? We find that human wisdom has a lot of talk, but little walk. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 42. Human wisdom can sound good, it can have a lot of talk, but not much action. Jeremiah 42, verse number 2. It says, and said unto Jeremiah, so the people are coming unto Jeremiah, the captains here. It says in verse 1, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came here and said to Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the things that we may do. You know, this sounds really good. You know, Jeremiah, go to the Lord and have the Lord tell us what he wants us to do. And you know, sometimes this can be exactly how we are. We'll come to the Lord and we'll say, boy, I just want the Lord to tell me what to do. But we only want one answer. And that's the answer that we want. And so here's Jeremiah. He comes to the Lord and he comes back. And, I mean, they even say, verse 6, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. You know, but later on, we find that they didn't obey. They did their own thing. And, verse number 19, the Lord has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye dissembled in your hearts. They deceived themselves in their own hearts. When ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. They deceived themselves in their own hearts when they said, Jeremiah, pray for us, and we'll do it. You know, and how often can we do the same thing? Because we're so set on one thing that we want. And we'll have great spiritual talk, but there won't be real spiritual action. Human wisdom has a lot of talk, but little walk. And they followed their own deceitful hearts rather than following the Word of God. And then we find here, lastly, it readily finds excuses not to obey. It readily finds excuses to not obey. And in the same account here, chapter 43, notice what they say. Verse number 2. Then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah and Johanan the son of Kareah and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, notice that, all the proud men, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Barak, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. Notice these great reasons that they came up with not to obey. I mean, they sounded so spiritual. And now they got to come up with some wonderful reasons why they can't obey. Jeremiah, you're speaking a lie. You're speaking falsely. These are the words of Barak. This isn't the words of God. You know, when we are not set, when our hearts are not committed to doing what is right, we will very easily come up with reasons why we shouldn't obey. You know, the Bible says, he that wills to do my will, he shall know of the doctrine. And you know, it's a very dangerous place to be in life when we're not committed to obedience. We can talk about being committed to obedience. We can act like we're committed to obedience. I mean, they said all the right words. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, we're going to obey. But guess what? They didn't obey. And they came up with reasons in their own heart not to obey. You're speaking a lie. This isn't the word of God. This is something that Barak told you to tell us. And we need to realize human wisdom. It is sourced in our own heart, which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that is why it is so important. The decisions we make in life is not based on what this person over here says or this person over here is doing, but it's based on what God's word says. Otherwise, we can fulfill Proverbs 14:12 in our own lives, in our own family. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, God had the right way for them. God's way was not a terrible way. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. But they were so set on doing things their way. You know, I wonder tonight, what wisdom are we following in the decisions that we're making for our family, for our children, for our spouse? Is it sourced in God's truth, or is it sourced in our own deceitful hearts? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, not to be deceived by our own hearts. Lord, it's so easy to think that we want to do what's right. It's so easy maybe to talk about doing right, Lord, but being committed to doing what's right is a totally different thing. And Lord, tonight may you strengthen us. May you give us your wisdom. And may by your grace, Lord, we follow your pathway. And Lord, help us to trust you, to set the end that we want aside, Lord, so that we can come to the destination that you have for us. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that you do have an expected end. Lord, that you think thoughts of peace for our lives. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to trust you in that pathway that you have. And Lord, that we would allow your word to be the light and the lamp that you want it to be. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.